wonderful prophecy about our Lord Jesus. Certainly one of the favorites of New Testament Christians looking into the Old Testament as the gift of Jesus is described. If you were to go through all of English literature and search for the title Prince of Peace, you would most likely only find it in reference to our Lord Jesus. Nobody else in history claimed to be the Prince of Peace, but here's Isaiah saying that God would come, God the Son. He's our one with the Father, everlasting Father, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, and mighty God. So a lot of good news in the passage. If we just took a couple of the phrases as to what God would be up to in the earth and in our souls. So two things happening at the same time, kind of, in the earth and in our souls. People will see a great light turning to Christ. That's our testimony, you know, to this day. We were walking not at peace with God, in the darkness, saw the great light Jesus, and turned to Him. And then God has increased the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice, and they rejoice like it's harvest time. So three times joy is mentioned, something God does for our soul when we meet Him. It gets our eyes off ourselves and says, you know, we say, God is our joy. And we rejoice in the best possible way. And for the folks back then, it was at a harvest time that they saw what God did. He provided food, and God provides us with eternal food, Jesus, the bread of life. And so eventually he says everything associated with war and conflict and, you know, human beings wiping out each other, that's going to be thrown away. So we're glad about that. We look around, that hasn't happened yet, but God says it will happen eventually, especially when His Son returns, and then gives us the good news of the child being born, the Prince of Peace. And if you look at peace as a theme in the Bible, it's quite a big deal and a need in our souls. I was just thinking, sitting worshiping God here, you know, how often during the week do I feel like there's peace in my soul? I'm going about walking with God, in the home, in responsibilities. How often do I have peace in my soul? I'll leave that answer between me and the Lord. As you would do too. You would say, well, you know, it's a lot. Or, boy, it's only about half the time. Or it's at least when I can have a good night's sleep, I feel somewhat at peace. But whatever, there's a promise in Psalms, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For You alone, O Lord, make we dwell in safety. But peace is something He longs to give us in the person of His Son. Ravi Zacharias, who speaks to college campuses and also gatherings of intellectuals, says that there's two tones of emotion most prevalent in the world today. The two tones of emotion are hostility and emptiness. Yeah, that's a pretty rough assessment, but it might be true as, you know, we look around. Hostility, yeah, that's kind of prevalent, and then emptiness. Not sure why my soul feels as bad as it does. So into that difficulty, and I'd have to say, when my emotions go south, or if I forget about the Lord, that's I will most likely feel hostility and emptiness in my soul. But into that vacuum, the Prince of Peace is offered to you and me. And Isaiah said, of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. So something about Jesus in our lives, He takes over more and more of what we offer to Him. You know, He could really do it. So if you don't have peace most of the time in your life, at least in your soul, not outwardly, can't control that. But in your soul, God says He can increase that as a gift, just like the gift of Jesus being born. So say, Lord, give that increase, please. And people have often tried to get peace on their own, you know, different governments and societies. A famous drop the ball on peace was right before World War II when Neville Chamberlain, Prime Minister of Great Britain went to Germany, you know, had some negotiations, came back, and the world was on the edge of its seat, and he held up a piece of paper and he said, "I bring to you peace for our time." And then with, you know, a year later, World War II happened. It was just total destruction. In our country in the 60s, I remember the hippies wanting peace a lot. Peace. In early years of high school, I thought, you know, yeah, there is a lot of fighting and orneriness going on. I'm gonna hang out with the hippies for a little bit. So I did so for about a day. And I found, you know, they're as ornery as anybody else I knew. So they didn't have the peace. And somebody said that in the 60s, the hippies stole peace, stole the theme of peace from the Christians. And the Christians have yet to value it back. A little bit afraid of it. You know, not a major theme that we share when we share about Christ. Because we think, well, we're not going to say too much about peace because the hippies did and they messed it up. So we don't want to mess it up. And also we say, you know, hey, there's not going to be any total peace until Jesus comes back. So don't even try in the meantime. Okay. Well, that's a dumb thing. We know there won't be any total peace till Jesus comes back. But in the Bible, God hasn't erased all the words peace, you know, and say, well, we're not going to even talk about that or receive that until the Lord comes back. You can't erase the peace of God any more than you can erase the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. Okay, so that peace is available to you and I, even before the Lord returns. We're so glad about that. And three good questions to ask yourself, or ask a friend maybe, having a good conversation, you know. Do you feel at peace with God? Are you at peace with God? Then you can ask, are you at peace with yourself? Good to ask a child, teenager, adult, senior. Are you at peace with yourself? And then are you at peace with others? Certainly the Prince of Peace would impact those three areas of your life. And so we're going to look at those just for a little bit. Peace with God, the most important one. Are you at peace with God? We can be 100% at peace with God that He initiates. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, God's Word says, we are put right with God or declared not guilty. By our trust in Him, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful promise that God can give to our soul. I learned as a young Christian the song, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. That's something that we know when we receive Christ. And, you know, if you wonder, boy, is my peace only based on my behavior or my ability to focus on certain things? No. Your peace is based on God's gift and God's initiative. And if we focus on Him, yes, we'll experience that peace. But even if we don't focus on that, even if we were having a horrible day filled with hostility and emptiness, we're trusting Christ with that little mustard seed. We're saying, well, at least I trust in Jesus. We are at peace with God. That's a wonderful gift beyond what we're going to pull off. That's for sure. So the increase of God's peace, both in missions, passing on good news, and evangelism, passing on good news, grows as does the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I think over time as a gift, God gives us more and more of those fruits as we abide in Him. So that's just point one. We won't do every point like that. But the increase of God's peace will have no end. In Ephesians, it says Jesus is our peace. We're not our own peace. He comes and gives us that peace. Wonderful thing about the Lord, it says in Isaiah 53, something that brought us peace was on Him. Okay? It doesn't say something that brought us peace was on us. We had to do it. It says the punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And so the cross is the place where Jesus provided for the peace between God and the sinner. And Jesus said, I'll stand for sinners so they could stand with God forever. And so Jesus is our peace. He earns it for us, you might say, and comes to us. And then to us is born the Prince of Peace. Again, the Bible says that about Jesus. Jesus said He'd come to give us His peace. And interesting, all the other religious leaders, they never said that. Muhammad never said, I'm the Prince of Peace. Buddha never said, I'm the Prince of Peace. No Hindu leader ever said, they're the Prince of Peace. Only Jesus, about Him was said, it's the Prince of Peace. So we could sing the old song, you know, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. That's Jesus. Overall, victorious in its sure increase. So even the songwriter says, yeah, peace is going to increase in our soul and in the world. People could fight all they want. God's still going to take souls to Himself. Perfect, yet it flows, fuller every day. Perfect, yet it grows, deeper all the way. Anchored in Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Okay. Was that songwriter just, you know, in a good mood? No. He was saying, it's peace, the Prince of Peace. Anchor in Jehovah. Isaiah would encourage us later to say, God will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are focused on Him or stayed on Christ. So, wonderful peace with God that He would give us. And I'd say, you know, when all else is going to fail, but you can always have peace with God because of the faithfulness of Jesus and putting your trust in Him. And the world wouldn't say it, but they covet that peace. They'll do anything for peace. You know, buy 5 cars at Christmas, travel to some faraway paradise, and those are all blessings. But the world covets peace, but God would come and give it as an undeserved gift in His Son. So are you at peace with God? You could say yes through faith in Christ. Are you at peace with yourself? The blessings that God gives from salvation, just a few of them. You're called God's child. Okay, so we're safe with God. He loves us all the time. We're united with the Lord. Paul gives this good news in a warning that you shouldn't be, you know, going off the rails in relationships and immoral behavior. He said, hey, don't do that because you're united with Christ. You can be at peace with yourself. You can say, I belong to God. 2 Timothy 1, God has given us a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. And again, there may be limitations on how we express those things, but God's resources are still available. We can love. We can have strength to be different. We can have a mind. And you probably know people who have disabled minds, like they might have a disabled pancreas or, you know, knee replacement. I was telling, I think it was Earl Mills, I need a brain replacement. Okay. But sometimes if you have a disabled way of thinking, even then you can have a sound mind about God. Oh, at least God loves me. There's a lot of people with severe, we'd call it mental illness, who can have a measure of peace with themselves, you know, that God would give. So it's an area to grow in. And then peace with yourself because the evil one cannot touch you. A really good verse tucked away in 1 John chapter 5. Enemy is there, yes. He's probably not spending all his time at your house. Even though some would say that, I feel bad. Somebody was in the my dear Christian sister. She had a little coughing spell and said, "Oh, the devil made me cough, you know." I just thought, no, it's just the dust, you know. But anyway, the evil one, John would say, cannot touch you. They tempt you, yes. Try to make your life miserable, yes. Say, come over here and sin, yes. But cannot take away peace with God or even peace with yourself. But run with that one for a while. It'll give you some blessing. And then your God's workmanship to do good things that God prepared in advance for us to do. And then, of course, here's some working out of the peace with yourself. And this is just from a man who probably went in way too much detail, but I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Because you have peace with God, you could be at peace with yourself. You could have a confidence in God, secure, not defending yourself. A good signal that you're not at peace with yourself is that you defend yourself. You know, you say, "Well, I did this because," or, you know, "let me explain my whatever." Don't defend yourself. Jesus is your defense. Say, "I did wrong, and I'm sorry." So confidence in God, not defending yourself. Comfortable enough to be assertive or not be assertive. Or to be stoic or not to say nothing. Okay, this is at peace with yourself. And I just want to put that up there. That God, His peace impacts the personality God gave us. So quietness can be blessed. Straightforwardness can be blessed as God leads. And then allow yourself to be known by others. We're called to be an open book because that's how we spread the gospel of Christ. If you're not an open book, you're probably never going to share anything about Jesus with anybody. Got to be a little bit of an open book. Okay, not letting it all hang out, but be an open book for the Lord. And in submission to God, you're free when you're at peace with yourself to be angry in a righteous way, to be warm, or again, to show no emotion, which, you know, can occur. And then words and face would reflect our soul when we're really at peace with ourselves. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we want to try to be consistent. What we're thinking in our soul, we want to say in a godly manner, and our public life and private life should be pretty much the same. Okay. That's a gift that God would give when we're at peace with ourselves. Okay. Peace with others. Wonderful thing. As far as it depends on us, be at peace with other folk. God can build that bridge. In sympathy and restoration, if there's a person around us who commits a big sin, you know, try to persevere. I'm going to love them, not what they did. And even if I have to love them from a distance, that's safety. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, they'll obtain mercy." "Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall become called children of God." Again, by the grace of God, the people who should be talking about peace the most are not the hippies, nor the, you know, leaders of government saying, I got bigger weapons, so we're going to have peace, and that's that. The ones who have the message of peace are you and I. Peace with God. The Prince of Peace can change a life. So regain that good gift. In confessing sin to one another, that can bring peace. And always try to take the initiative in that. for me to confess my sin is to others is a lot easier than the second part. You sinned and I don't know what to do about it. I'll pray for you for a year. I hope you change your ways, you know. Well, if I really love you, I'm going to go and approach you before a year goes by to say, I could see this is hurting you. And it doesn't really reflect how, you know, the Lord's work in your life. So confrontation is a way to know peace with others. Yikes. That's something to learn how to do well. And the Lord could help us with that. And then, of course, in initiating Christ-like love to others, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. It's a wonderful blessing. Treat others like you want to be treated. I'll share a real story. Just recently, I had to meet with two people who are really angry with each other. I mean, really angry. And then I also was angry with both of them. So I don't know which of the three of us were more angry. But it was really like, I thought this is not going to be a good conversation. So I prayed, you know, kind of desperately for a day or two before the meeting. And I don't know how the Lord did it to this day, but the two people were kind of, they yielded to one another. They weren't angry with one another anymore. It was like the parting of the Red Sea. Then all of a sudden, I wasn't angry with them. My anger wasn't that righteous to begin with. But I dropped that sin against these people. So all three of us went home, and you know the thing, and lived happily ever after. Well, I don't know, but anyway, for that day, we were happily ever after. And it was like God did it. It wasn't for like somebody find the magic bullet in the conversation. God just brought three ornery people together. So His peace really can invade us. And pray for that to occur, beginning in your own soul. Let peace begin on earth, and let it begin with me. And there's a recovery program that says this. It says, we as sinners are entirely ready to have God remove all our character defects. That's a good prayer. We as sinners are ready to have God remove entirely all our character defects. So we're willing to be changed by God's grace. And no peace with God, no peace with others. Even as far as it can depend on you. And then, of course, no peace with yourself. I'll close with an old prayer from an old-time preacher who really coveted the peace of God, and that helped him focus on Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, this old prayer said, we pray, to be turned from you is to fall. So we don't want to fall by not trusting you. To be turned to you is to rise. We can turn to you in prayer, in trust, in obedience. That's to rise. In all our sorrows, Lord, give us your peace. It's hard to have peace when you say goodbye to a loved one or you're in massive pain or whatever the trial is. But in all our sorrows, give us your peace. We know your peace is stronger than our troubles. For all our sins, give us your forgiveness. Thank you. We need that gift every day. And then for all our work, give us your help. Give us your help so we can glorify and honor you. And Lord, might we be messengers of peace in this glad season when the Prince, you, Jesus, was born, Prince of Peace. In your name we pray. Amen.